25 minutes after 5 o'clock on Downtown. I mentioned I have to leave early today. My drama kids at Brewer High School have a performance tonight, but I said I will take one for the team here. I will stay around long enough to drink wine with Eric Meehan.
Well, thank you, sir.
I tell you what.
Much appreciated.
It's a sacrifice. Indeed, it's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor and Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric, welcome back.
It is nice to be here, and we're making family day. I brought my daughter, Nella, to see what this madness is all about. I tried to explain. You hear those voices on the radio? We're going to be there. Are we going to see them? Yeah, we're going to see them.
And she looks suitably bored already.
She's absolutely bored. Yeah. I know, but that's cool.
Yep.
I expected nothing less.
Like our listeners.
No. They are fully engaged. They are ready.
Well, they are when you're here, at least.
I like to think so. So today we plunge into week three of our month-long exploration of wine closures, which sounds like the most boring thesis anyone could ever write possible. But you get to drink the wine once you figure out the closure. So, you know, bonus. So we started off the month. We talked about cork and cork closures and why might prefer that or not. And, of course, the main thing that we talked about was that TCA, the trichloroanisole, which is that nasty, funky thing that infects between 1 and 7% of all corks and makes your wine smell like the bilge of a sailboat, and that's no good. So then last time we tried a good old classic screw cap, the Kessler Riesling, which was very well received because, of course, it was nice, fresh, and TCA-free by its nature. So tonight we move on to this is the most impressive sort of closure to break out in front of people who've especially never seen it. And even if they have it, it just looks so new and cool. And this is something called the Vino Seal or the Vino Lock. And it's a European invention that's only been around since 2003. And it is all glass and with just a little inert plastic O-ring that allows basically the perfect seal and also really cool reclosure of the thing, very easy, whereas obviously some corks and other things don't allow that. So it's this is something that you're starting to see. As I said, it's only been around since 2003. There's something like 300 wineries using it with any regularity, so it's not something that you're going to see a ton of, but where you are going to start to see it is in what I like to sort of think of as the Sound of Music countries. So anything where you'd see sort of the blonde hair, blue eye, so northern Italy, which is where the wine we're going to discuss today comes from. Austria has been using them for quite some time, Germany. That's also one of the problems is you don't see a lot of wineries in America using them because the cappers for them are very expensive and really not found much outside of Europe. So it's a closure method that I would love to see catch on a little bit. The other prohibitive thing about it is that they're quite expensive. It's about 70 cents, depending on the value of the dollar on any given day. Per thing, so it definitely adds to the expense of the bottle.
But very elegant looking.
Very, very sexy, and being heavily used in the spirits industry, especially where you're going to pay a little more premium anyway for the thing. And the other really cool thing, I went on their website today, or one of them. There's a couple, I think two companies now that do these, and they're fully customizable. So you can have this little O-ring doohickey and be bright pink if you wanted, or you can have a picture on the top, or you can, it's really a neat thing that I think really adds a lot of class to the packaging. And what's interesting, so the wine, as you know, we've been doing pretty reasonably priced wines. This is the entry level wine from this particular winery, and the wine we're drinking for everybody's knowledge. And I know Brian's going to put it up on the internet. This is from the region of Valpolicella. So the more famous city that people might know is Venice, right? So Venice is on the coast, and far inland, about 100 kilometers, there's a big lake called Lake Garda, which moderates the temperature The cold winds sweeping out of the Alps and such from, again, northern Italy, moderates the temperature. And so at the southern end of this lake, you find vast amounts of really, really awesome wine country. Famous wines that come out of this region, Amarone. A lot of people know that, which is a big, bold red wine that's made by drying grapes. And the little wine that sort of comes from that, which is Valpolicella, which is the region. So this is a wine from one of those wineries, and it's made out of the local white grape, Garganega, and also a little bit of Chardonnay. Chardonnay is what we call an international varietal. It's grown everywhere, A, because it grows pretty easily everywhere, and B, because it's a moneymaker. And that's cool. I mean, in a wine like this, and you know, we'll all collectively taste it, although I know we've all been sipping it a little bit, cause it's irresistible. But it sort of, takes the bracing acidity of the Garganega, and also there's a little, Trebbiano in this, and kind of, you know, mellows it out. So this is a really, really lovely wine. And the reason again, that they're using this method of closure is because it's a fresh wine. It's meant to be drunk now. It's not meant to be stored. They don't need oxygen passage, maybe or maybe not, through a cork and things like that. It's just absolutely brilliant what it is. And it's really, because they are in this region where, frankly, they make more on average because of the you know, marketability of the higher end red wines, especially, they can afford to put their little red wine as well as in one of these closures. And they started to use this as more of a standard thing. And I think it's really kind of brilliant. But as I said, you know, it's not for everybody. It is sort of a commitment. You have to either find a bottling plant for yourself or invest in one of these closure methods. You know, that's not for everybody, but I think it's a pretty cool thing. And so if you stumble upon it, don't worry, you don't need any sort of fancy tool. Just your opposable thumbs. I hope everybody's descended enough from the apes that we all have those.
I have those.
Perfect.
One on each hand.
Ha ha. And as I said, they're reclosable, so that's really cool. Makes for, you know, easy enjoyment the next night. A brief moment for us all to enjoy collectively out there in Radio Land. You can practically smell it. It's very fresh and citrusy and.
My gosh,
kind of
bracing. Good.
You really, really want like flaky white fish with it, don't you? Just like my mouth is salivating right now for something.
It just reminds me of being in Venice. It really does.
Isn't that perfect? Yeah, I love that. You know what kills me? One of my favorite wine stories, I swear this happened. This is not something that's just made up or out of like Louis C.K. land or something like that. A woman once came into me and complained that the Pinot Grigio she bought didn't taste very good. And I said, why? And she's like, well, I bought a case because we had it in Venice overlooking the Grand Canal, and it just doesn't taste as good as it did then. And I just kind of sat there. I was like, well, yeah. Not much tastes as good as, wow. And that's a lesson for everybody out there. I love, everybody's right. You're never wrong. But I promise, if you had something overlooking the Grand Canal in Venice, and it just doesn't taste as good on, you know, in your backyard in like February, There's a reason, and it's not your wine merchant's fault.
So if I take my lawn chair down to the Kanduskeg Plaza,
maybe. I mean, I like strange things happen down there. What can I say? But
I like to sit right near where the man is making the velvet Martin Luther King paintings. I like to take that in at sunset. It's very
telling
nice.
You, it's well, the Mad Dog 2020 that you're having at that time will it'll flourish.
Yeah, and it really tastes best right in that atmosphere.
Oh yeah, and it fits right in the pocket of your Baja that you're wearing.
There you go.
You know, this is so much better than any California Chardonnay I've ever had because it has the crispness, but without any of that sort of bitterness that can linger sometimes. No, this is really good.
It's good. Well, I try to bring you guys some decent wine. Oh, I must say,
every time
it's my mission. Right.
Well, so. We appreciate mission accomplished.
Well and done. Now you can get to your drama, folks.
I can, yeah.
Which is great, and I think we got you out in
and
good
just
time.
Make sure you're safe, Rich.
Yeah, you can hold that ball.
Very
I appreciate
well.
It. You fellas wrap up. I'm going to go thespianize, enjoy the rest of the wine.
Oh, it ain't lasting. It's down near Bruce's end. He's already pouring another one.
Be well, and thanks.
You know, that the other thing that I think is really great about this is when you look at it, it's such a gorgeous color. I mean, it looks like you're, you know, you're on the Piazza San Marco and you're raising your glass.
Yeah, you know, color is a really, really important thing. I talk to people all the time about the glassware, and maybe, you know, we'll do a glassware segment or something one of these days. Look at what you're drinking, because sometimes, especially with white wines, man, if they're a young, fresh wine and they look like the color of a brick,
yeah,
you might want to reconsider drinking that, because it's probably oxidized and ruined. So it's sight. I mean, sight does everything for us, right? I mean, we judge everything within milliseconds on sight, and it can tell you a lot about the wine you're about to drink. And we'll certainly touch on that. We'll do maybe a month long on you know, just what visuals can tell you. And I'll bring. Unfortunately, that would probably have me bringing in some flawed bottles. I don't know if you guys want me doing that.
Now, but, how can they grow this? Make this wine in this region and those bold Amarones?
Well, the Amarone is made by drying grapes.
Oh.
So they have these lofts where they take the red grapes from the region. And we may that would be a fun thing. We'll be exploring Italy. We'll take the second 6 months of the year, just so everybody kind of knows the format of how I'm going to try to do this, and explore different countries and different regions. But then they dry them so that the ratio of water to solids, which is mostly sugars and minerals and things like that, obviously changes. And then also you do get that sort of raisiny quality, right? Yeah, and aren't they remarkable? And then they're so smart. What they're so smart about is that then they take those used grapes and they pass the Valpolicella, the little red wine, over them, and they do what they call the ripasso. So you get this sort of next level down, really interesting, heady kind of red wine that sells for like $25-$30 a bottle, as opposed to $50-$60 and more. And they're pretty cool. So yeah, so we'll definitely have to visit that these days.
Very nice. That was delicious too, and it had a nice little aroma too that was distinct than what we've had before. So.
It makes you want more.
Yeah. Of course, this has been Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, located at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, between Brahma Grill, just now open, and Fiddlehead Restaurant. And you can also, it's also brought to you by Crossroads Beverage Company, located at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you in around a week's time.
Thanks, gents.
All right, got to take a quick break here on Downtown. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk with Dennis Price, get a little Capital Arts report, our Good, Bad, and Ugly Downtown calendar, and so much more as you're listening to Downtown here on the Pulse. AM 620 WZON.